please listen carefully.
Well, hello, universe, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media, social media, and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, listen on your new home setup or new iPad-worthy, happy almost birthday week-worthy for Christy podcast. Today is Monday, July 27th, 2020. Well, my dear, how are you this bright Monday morning?
I am fine. I'm well and fine in the real sense, not the, like, don't talk to me about anything else because I just don't want to deal with any of the world.
Fine. So you're fine in like a good sense, not in the feeling inside not expressed, right? And somebody once told me that that was the acronym for fine, feelings inside not expressed.
Yes, I'm actually fine. Which means I'm not flying high or feeling fantastic or anything like that. But I'm, you know, I'm carrying forward, keeping going. It's just yet another day in this bizarro world we're living in. How about you?
I am feelings inside super expressed. no, I'm good. As I was saying before we got started today, my weekend was fun. There was a lot of outdoorness. I got to have a socially distant walk with one of my dearest friends from childhood and high school. One of, you know, my longest friendships. And his husband, we went to Ojai and we played in the park with Brennan. She is well on her way of taking her first steps. And overall, it was a really nice weekend. Some friends of mine, my socially distant lawn party friend, had a little birthday party for her. That was darling. And she has been flipping through her mermaid books. And I got some stretching in. I didn't yell at any trees, but I did breathe through my nose repeatedly. And overall, also good. I think I am looking forward to this week. I am also feeling better about our site because I know on Friday we talked about, maybe it was Thursday or Friday, we talked about that traffic was down for the first time that we'd seen in months. I am pleased to report that traffic is back up and we are continuing to climb. So we had a slight dip. I think the world was feeling pretty icky.
Yeah, I think it was this collective, oh, wow, this is going to be hard kind of moment that the globe was experiencing. And perhaps we all had to take a momentary breather from it all. And now we're kind of going, okay, well, let's just get up again and keep on moving forward. And let's continue to look for what's the brighter side of life. I felt like our conversation with the managing editor for the dailies on Friday, Summers.
Yeah.
That was really important for me. He's now moved back from Costa Rica to Europe. And it was good to have that outside perspective, a conversation from somebody who is looking at what's happening here in the news media in America from the relative calm of the Netherlands. You know, that was actually good.
Yeah. Well, and I think just being able to voice that across media. I had a girlfriend who said over the weekend that she caught up on her Optimist Daily update. She said she listened to 4 episodes in a row. It made me laugh because I just think the idea of listening to you and I for an hour and 20 minutes sounds like such a great, fun break. But also, that's like a real commitment. But what it expressed to me was that everybody had just kind of put their feelings on pause. Everybody was just sort of holding their breath. And I think that we can breathe. We can get through this. There are good signs that the world is going to recover. Things are going to be better. Elections will happen and vaccines will occur. And we're not stuck, even though it may be as an overwhelming feeling kind of had that sense.
In other words, Summers, this too shall pass.
Yes. this too shall pass. My accidental guru, Jake Tyson, he was like, remember, everything's an experience.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Everything is an experience. Speaking of experiences, what would you like to talk about today on the Optimist Daily?
We'll do a read through of our top solutions today, but the one that I, of course, had to choose, the headline is Fungus Found in Chernobyl Could Protect Astronauts from Cosmic Radiation. And this is from our science section on the Optimist Daily. And of course, I had to choose this because it just, I loved reading about it. I love these kinds of solutions that, you know, reaches into the natural world to find a solution for something which seems like out of space, you know, out of this world. And basically, this is a story about a fungus which has been found in the aftermath of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant debacle from the 80s. But there's a radiation-absorbing fungus that grows out there. And scientists are using this to build a shield, a living shield on the outside of the spacecrafts, which actually helps protect crew members from the onslaught of deadly cosmic rays. And that is an issue when you're out there traveling outside of Earth's atmosphere. The cosmic rays can have seriously deleterious effects on the human cells, on any cells, any living cells that are used to having the atmosphere.
Okay, two things. One, you win the award for saying the most complicated word at 9 a.m. on a Monday, deleterious. I mean, okay, bravo. I am very impressed with that. Two, yay space fungus, but can you give me a teensy bit of insight on how space fungus protects against these rays? You don't have to get into the science of it. I haven't read the article in depth, but give me a little more in understanding how space fungus works.
First of all, let me try to pronounce the name of this fungus. It's called Cryptococcus neoformans. An extremely thin layer, just like 2 centimeters thick, is what they used to test this. But it was able to block and absorb 2% of the cosmic rays that hit it while it was on the International Space Station. They went out to the International Space Station and they conducted this test. You know, that's not enough. 2% isn't going to make a difference. But they are saying that a layer that's just 21 centimeters thick would be enough to keep future Mars settlers safe from cosmic radiation. It's basically putting moss around a building.
Right.
Okay. Right. And so one interesting thing about this is it is a living multicellular organism. So parts of the fungus shield that would be damaged, like if it were damaged, it would be able to grow back. Because what's really amazing about fungus is you only need a little bit to start out and it self-replicates, it self-heals. So even if there's like a solar flare that damages the radiation shield significantly, according to the Stanford researcher and study co-author Niels Averich, it would actually be able to grow back in just a few days.
The fungus returns.
Right. And so
I love it.
The way you said that made me think of the blob, and I don't really want, I think there's probably more positive. No,
I didn't mean to get dark.
It's just a really fun solution. I love this story. Go look at it, go read it. But the thing that I find interesting is when you peel back the layers of the negative things that happen, sometimes there is a positive, just like outside of the box solution that might come out of it.
Right.
The Chernobyl disaster was a horrible loss of life. It was a huge impact for that part of Russia. People can't really live there yet. But there's some interesting wildlife reactions that have happened. And the fact that there's a fungus that absorbs radiation and actually thrives on it, it reminds me of the other fungus, which eats plastic. And that might be one of our solutions for getting rid of some of the plastic waste, which is infecting our entire planet, right? Mushrooms are going to save us.
Yay!
Mushrooms and teenagers, right?
Exactly. Mushrooms, teenagers, THC.
That was the headline which really sparked my interest. And there's other great stuff out there that we'll get into in a minute. But what is the headline that sparked your interest today, Summers?
Well, this is a headline that we've talked about a fair amount. And we've talked about internally a fair amount. And everyone has probably seen some version of this headline online. And one of the things we do at the Optimist Daily is when we see stuff proliferate on social, we really take a beat. We make sure we read all the sources. We confirm that the science is real. And this headline, the science is simply real. Premature births plummeted during coronavirus lockdowns. Now, what I find really exciting about this article is that it is affirming what we unintentionally and non-scientifically proved during my pregnancy at the Optimist Daily. As many of you guys know, I had a pretty high-risk pregnancy with my little girl. And the folks at the Optimist Daily and the team around here had to get very comfortable very quickly with me being remote from about 5 months on of pregnancy, and actually at 3 months for about a month because I had to have a surgery. So we learned very quickly that we could be fully productive as a team. We could accomplish tremendous things as a team while working remotely. That care that we focused as a team on, that maternal health care and the commitment everybody made to learning to work a new way, kept my baby and me safe. Well, it turns out working from home, a reduction of stress, reducing commuting, and even a reduction in air pollution has caused the lowest number of premature births in recorded medical history.
In addition, I think having more sleep was part of that.
Exactly.
The alternative part of not having to commute. Many, many people have to drive hours.
Yeah.
So that resulting extra sleep.
Extra sleep. Doctors in many countries, Ireland, Denmark, US, were really, really surprised to see this incredibly low number of premature births. And part of the leading indicator that one doctor noticed is that they actually were not seeing a reduction of the breast milk supply that was usually available to feed preemies. And so he noted that they weren't running out of breast milk, which they often do and are often asking for donations. And they started tracking these premature births. Now, I think this is really fascinating because what the coronavirus lockdown has taught us is that we can work differently. We can focus our health and our community efforts differently in a way that doesn't put people at risk. And populations that are at risk for health complications do include new moms or moms to be. So I love that this story illuminates something that can actually have a lasting impact, I believe, on how work and maternal and child welfare can be prioritized. And I just think that this is such a great step forward in professional feminism. Christy, you and I were talking briefly about how, does this set us back? Does this mean we need to send all women home? And I am really excited because I think, and I know you concur, this actually puts us forward. And this shows us that work can be done differently and that we can still be productive and accomplish great things while being pregnant. And being at home is actually a very good thing for mother and soon to be arriving child.
I do think this is a great solution. And it does show that if we take these lessons and plan out more effective maternal health strategies for the future, it doesn't mean that women shouldn't be fully participant in the workforce. It just means that we have to rebalance our expectations for our workers to realize that we are human beings with bodies. We're not just productive, we're also reproductive. And this new understanding can really help us plan out how to have a really successful workforce.
Exactly. Yeah. Advancing the workforce as well as advancing health. And this is do good, do well.
It is hard to work from home a lot, but hey, it's much better to be able to sleep a little bit longer, to have a little bit stress. I think the drop in air pollution was another factor here. And especially for a lot of the neighborhoods that live near areas which are really impacted, urban areas that are impacted by smog and air pollution, this is a really important thing to think about. If we can get the air pollution down and get more sleep and build that into our work schedules, that's going to make everyone do better, including our little preemie babies.
Exactly.
Things that I found interesting that I want to think about for organizing my work-life balance. There's a new study that's showing that cutting screen time lowers risks of death. And that is not a surprise, but it just reminds me to take that into consideration when I'm enjoying my recreation time as well as my work time. We have to get out there and look outside and do other things than just watch TV or play on the computer or our phones, right?
The fabulous irony of this particular article, Christy, is that I've already seen it forwarded to a friend. We have the ability to forward an article to someone on the Optimist Daily. You just click on the little mail link. I've already seen this go out 17 times today. people on their phones everywhere are telling each other to get off their phones.
Get off our phones, right?
There's an article about four things we can change to reduce police violence in America. That's an interesting, very detailed read. The FCC has approved a 3-digit national suicide hotline, and this is essential because suicide is a real issue, and it's even become more of an issue now that we've lost some of our other support systems. But the hotline is 988. I just feel like this is a super important step to have a really simple, easy to remember number that if you're in having a crisis, you can call, kind of like the 911.
Yeah, it looks like 988 will be live within the next 18 months. Until then, there's the Suicide Prevention Lifeline or Crisis Test Line. That both of those numbers are available in the article, but this is fantastic to also alleviate some of the pressure of 911 administrators, just as we're talking about diversifying the support systems and not expecting the police to be mental health care workers. This allows mental health care workers to have a direct line into those who need them.
Yeah.
So this is fantastic.
Who are specifically trained to deal with suicidal issues or mental health crises, as opposed to calling the cops on folks who are experiencing those. And speaking of mental health, there's another really wonderful article. The headline is 20 Ways to Protect Your Mental Health According to Modern Science. And this actually goes through and lists them, which I find very useful. So take a read on that. Mm-hmm. I also really love this article. This headline is giant retailers like Walmart and Target are uniting to take on plastic bags. And this is something that's super important to dealing with the plastic waste that we are faced with around the world. Big companies like Walmart and Target can make a huge difference because of their massive footprints in supplying our economy.
The Lego-like 3D printed biostructure helps heal injured bones. That is from the health section. Great image there, and also a great technology. 3D printing and biomaterials are really exciting. A bicycle garage in The Hague offers cyclists a museum-like experience. And a great story about how America can recover from the pandemic with some ideas on financial next steps forward and other solutions for students and adults and everybody in our community. So we've got a lot of really great stories ahead this week on the Optimist Daily. For those of you who are just catching up on your Optimist Daily update, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. And I really feel like our editorial team stepped it up after I and you, well, it was mostly me, was just talking about how I was struggling in the last week with the onslaught of the negative news. How do you turn that around? How do we look at this from what we can do instead of feeling like we're being stopped at every direction? And there really are wonderful things happening in the world. And so I appreciate the writers, and I appreciate you, Summers, and I appreciate everyone who's listening to the Optimist Daily Update and reading the Optimist Daily every day. And with that, I would like to just say that we're promising, again, to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you and we can all participate in changing this world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to continue to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and to keep offering you the information you need most to chart new paths for all of us.
And you know what, guys? This week, you should do it. You should become an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And, you know, $5 a month. Help support reader-funded independent journalism. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. Let's please keep the Optimist Daily free to those who need it, supported by those who can. Everybody have a great week. Happy Monday. See you tomorrow.
Bye, Summers. Bye, everybody.